Hi everyone, welcome back to the Heaven Land Devotions, the Little Green Pasture. Praise ye the Lord. So good to be back again today. I'm going to start praying right now because I'm just really ready to go. So I'm just going to pray right now. Please join me. Heavenly Father, without any more further ado, I just really want to get going. And I want to speak the words that Lord, I believe have been stirring in my heart today. And I feel such an unction in you, Lord, and I pray and ask you that you would allow me to speak your word with boldness as it ought to be spoken, that your word would have free course in me, that every word that I would speak would be purified in your fires and be acceptable unto you. I pray, Jesus, that you would allow me even, Lord God, to be to have ears that are hearing what your Holy Spirit is saying in me, and guide me in the way. Guide me in the way. And I pray, Lord, take this message, and I pray you let it speak what you want it to speak, and that, Lord, you would be in the midst of us, in the midst of this prayer, in the midst of this message. I really don't know everything I'm going to say, but I love the living waters. There's no plan for waters. They just flow. Therefore, I offer up myself to you, a riverbed for your living waters, your crystal clear, pure, holy, living waters. Praise God. To God be the glory. Praise you, Lord, O Lamb of God. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the last time I was on, I was talking about having dull days and dull weeks and, you know, having to get through that. We all have them. And I think God allows them actually on purpose because we feel an estrangement from God and we don't like the way that feels, though he's never far from us and he's with us. We know that. But I just want to springboard from off of that because I want to just let these living waters flow. I don't like canned messages. I just want to talk to you today. Well, so. I saw something this morning. I saw two things this morning. I'm going to talk about them, but I want to speak about it in the fire of my spirit, like in Ezekiel, when the Holy Spirit took him by the hair in the heat of his spirit. I want heat of my spirit from time to time because it gives me an edge. I love what Amy Carmichael said. She has a book called The Edge of His Ways. And I want to live on the edge of Jesus's ways. I want to always be right there on the edge with Christ, and so do you. And I think that those dull times really make us realize how grateful we are when we're really, when God, it's all spiritual. We cannot know all the reasons why. I mean, it's impossible. And maybe we're not supposed to ever really know, but to the degree of knowing, we say, we know what the dull way feels like. It is tedious. It is awful. It is oppressive at times. So when we come in to that new fertile ground and those new fields and the fresh air of Christ and the living waters, we are absolutely more stringent with our faith and we're more valiant for the truth and we want the holy life. Well, today I saw what most of you are all seeing right now about that men's conference in Springfield, Missouri last Thursday and Friday, and how they had an entertainer on. And he has a background of like a striptease, sword swallowing act. He was on America's Got Talent or whatever, I don't know. I hate to even mention that show because I want this to always be where Christ is so glorified and honored here. But there are things in the world that sometimes, you know, we just got to mention them for the purpose of the message. Well, so I saw what Pastor Mark Driscoll did or said. He went into that church, not during the men's conference, but I guess a day or so ago, he went in there, I guess this last Sunday, and for like a minute and 24 seconds, he got up there and he did it tactfully. I pretty much believe he knew that he only had a couple of minutes and he did it well. He just stood there and he said, point blank, excuse me, allergies. He said, in this big mega church, you have allowed the Jezebel spirit to come in here. And he said it nice. He even said, I'm not here to judge you. I'm just saying that spirit has been, I think, I don't know if he said the word aloud, but anyways, just for the sake of time, that spirit has come into this church. Well, it wasn't, you know, and he was saying some strong words about it. I'll put a link to that message that he gave down below in the description box. And in the background, you hear, I think it was the pastor of the church, if not, it was somebody in leadership saying, your time is up. Your time is up. And he said, I received that. And he closed his Bible and he left. And that to me was a powerful view that I was looking at. Your time is up. And it was said loud and clear at least 3 times. But that man got up there because that man serves Jesus Christ. And people that truly serve Jesus Christ, a boldness does happen to you where you do say, there's like what, like it says in Job chapter 32, the fourth but silent member of the three miserable comforters of Job. His name was Elihu. And he talked about, he said, there's inspiration in a man. He said, I thought I should hold my peace and let the older people speak. He said, but I'm like a wineskin that's full of vent. Like I'm going to explode. And that's what happens when the Holy Spirit moves in a person. There's a fearlessness and a boldness, but a peace and a strength that is not of this world and not of a person's own self. I know there's been so many times in my life where the Lord asked me to do something that was scary. I'm not going to get into what those things were. And I tried to find different ways not to do it until I realized that not obeying it was absolute disobedience to Jesus Christ. And when we say we want to be his servants, what does that really mean anyway? I mean, come on, let's be realistic. When we say, Lord, I want to serve you, here I am, absolute surrender, I lay my life down before you. But we don't really realize at that time that it really takes courage to be a true follower of Jesus Christ. It takes everything that you have to give to Christ. You know, I think about the woman, that old widow who threw in a couple of mites. She tossed in a couple of mites, but Jesus said she threw in her whole living. And I love that word. I love how he said it. She threw it in. She didn't try to hold on to a couple of mites. And I think, look at all the mites everybody hangs on to. This is me not sitting in some seat of judgment. I've had my own mites I was trying to hold on to in some white knuckle grip, thinking that my two little mites I'll hold on to, but I'll let God have the rest. No way. When you're truly serving Jesus Christ, you don't always go from strength to strength. You go from weakness to weakness, and then sometimes weakness to strength and back down to weakness. And you go from fire to fire, and you go through so many things, but it's always strengthening you, and you begin to be developed and mature in that spiritual maturity where you start to die, and you start to say, why do I want to hold on to these two lousy mites of something in myself that I'm hanging on to because, I don't know, I just didn't want to. You start seeing everything as expendable, worth throwing away. So I watched the video. They had this stripper on, and I even took screenshots of it. And because I watched it, and there's this man, and there's all these men, and this is about, and the name of the conference was called the Stronger Man's Conference. I think that's what it says. Stronger Men's Conference. That's what it was called. So they had a Cirque du Soleil acrobat whose impressive resume includes multiple stints on You Got Talent and the franchise, where he's an aerial sword swallower. So we can't even say that that man was a believer. He was just a man who was hired. I'll leave it at that. If I'm wrong, please tell me that he was saved, and maybe we could, I'll change what I'm saying. I'll bring a correction to it. But I don't believe any saved person could do that. And so that man got up there, and there was a striptease pole. And the man does this very seductive, he's taking off this flashy vest and he's moving his body very seductively. And at some point, he takes a sword, he sticks it down his throat, and then he climbs this pole all the way to the top. And it's kind of terrifying looking. But he gets to the top of that pole and he extends his arms like this. And I saw that and I said, that's like that pole. Some other person said, oh, that represented the Asherah pole. It was a pagan fertility statue, but I didn't see it like that. Although it still could be that, but how I saw it is that he was ascending what looked like the cross. And then he flips downwards, head down, and his arms are still out. And he ascends all the way down. And as soon as he gets to the bottom, there's like this big black, what looked like a pot off to his side. And all of a sudden, these huge flames that look like they go about 15 feet high or 20 feet high come roaring out of this black pot as soon as he hits the bottom, which looked like hell. And it was a absolute mockery, what looked like to me a satanic mockery of the cross. And I looked at that, and you see all these men, obviously the men in the front row were all the big shots of the church. And they're talking about having, a stronger men's conference. And I looked at that and I said, no, it's not a stronger men's conference. That's a weaker man's conference, because there's not one man in there that would have even have stood up and said, I want nothing to do with it. I'm going to read this to you. Luke 11, 8 through 23. If Satan, Jesus says this, if Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth the spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. And this is a big mega church. Any of those big, these big mega churches? Look at the condition of the people in there. Look at what they're looking at. They tell a man like Mark Driscoll, and I'm sure if Mark Driscoll was sitting right here, he would say, don't look at me. I'm nobody. I'm just a servant of the Lord. But I praise God for all those nameless servants of the Lord. Even Mark Driscoll would probably say, yeah, that's my name, but I don't go around promoting it. Because there are so many nameless servants of the Lord that were powerful throughout the Bible. People will never know until we get to heaven that we're obedient to God. What an absolute, absolute embarrassment to the body of Jesus Christ. And I furthermore condemn it. And I'm not ashamed to condemn what the enemy has done. Look, when Mark Driscoll went in there and he was saying, you allowed the Jezebel spirit to come in here. I think maybe I heard a couple of claps, right? But you know what happened with that leadership? That leadership was full of pride and arrogancy. And it says there are four things that the Lord hates. There's four things it says in Proverbs chapter 8. It says pride, arrogancy, the froward mouth, and the evil way. He says, these things do I hate. And so when you say that to a man, get out. I think to myself, the churches are lost. These big churches, does that mean that there's lost people in them? No. But there's a responsibility to those who are in leadership in the body of Jesus Christ. And there are awesome pastors out there, awesome leaders. They have a control. They're full of the Holy Spirit. They're good men and women of God. But you know, somebody might be saying, what do you have to say to Joni? That's a men's conference. I have plenty to say about it because I have a husband. I have sons. And I believe in men pastors. But when men have allowed that kind of thing to come in, and furthermore, there's other things that are happening in mega churches of strippers coming in and other kind of absolute abominable things that they're doing at these conferences. When a stronger man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. You know, but when a stronger is he that shall come in, there's different people will say, well, that means Jesus or that means the enemy. I'm just using this right now as a metaphor to show you, you know, you this church and churches like that, they think they have it all going on because they have 10,000 seats and they have big platforms and they have lights and they have cameras. They have action. They have the most up-to-the-date sound equipment, the best singers, the best instruments. But Christ is not in that place. You know, I thought to myself, what if Leonard Ravenhill walked into that church or Dave Wilkerson? What do you think those men of God would say? What do you think? See, they weren't afraid to call things the way they were. And they were either hated by people or they were loved by people. And the people that hated them were people that wanted their own fashion of a church, another Jesus. Well, we'll do things our way. It doesn't work that way. Look at what we're seeing. Another thing that happened is on Sunday, I'm sure you're all seeing it. There is a bishop named Marmari Emmanuel at the Assyrian Christ, the Good Shepherd Church. And he, you know, he has a different faith than us, but he's a beautiful man. I mean, yes, he's Eastern Orthodox, but I love listening to him. He's so smart. He's so intelligent. He's beautiful. He's always talking about the love of Jesus Christ. He's always trying to have people. I mean, he just radiates with Christ. And that man, some guy comes in yesterday from a different religion. We'll leave it at that. And he started multiply stabbing him. And look what's happening. You see, the men that are truly preaching the word of God, and there's other places, the enemy is truly coming against the people of God. The enemy is truly, truly using humanity to push Christianity out of the world. I love what Leonard Ravenhill said about Jesus. He said there was no room for him in the inn. He got a bit older. There was no room for him in the family. His family turned on him. He went to the temple. There was no room in the temple. The temple turned on him. And when he died, there was no room to bury him. He died outside the city. See, that was Jesus's life. Is that our life? Because I'll tell you right now, I don't belong at that church. We are the body of Jesus Christ. The body of Jesus Christ is an organic body. It is comprised of people's lives from every tribe, nation, language, people, and tongue. It is not just a church over here in Australia or a church over here in one of the places of the United States scattered around, or a church over here in China or wherever. It's not the building. We are the living body of Jesus Christ in this earth. And if you are going to a church where they're allowing that kind of a thing and you are not growing and you really do not know Jesus Christ at all, you have to open your eyes and see there's a big problem. You see, the world little by little, starting from Jesus' earliest beginnings when he started his Galilean ministry, little by little, this world was pushing him out and pushing him out and pushing him out, pushing him out. In a sense, Jesus was like the big holy splinter of the sin world, where the body of sin pushed him out of this world. But he didn't leave this world until he died for us. I mean, I don't think we'll ever know it, and I want to go on looking into it, and I will. But I just want you to realize right now, there is a man that was stabbed because he preaches the love of God, the truth of Christ, and the reality of things that are happening in this world that are so wicked, so evil, that have to do with the last days. And a demon-possessed man tried to kill him. You know, over the last couple of days, I came under a heavy oppression. And then I woke up this morning full of power. I didn't know why, but I know this. You know, every single plant on this earth has its own fragrance. Some don't have any fragrance at all. But you know what? I want to be the littlest flower that smells the strongest. Like J.R. Miller said, one day he was walking through this field and the grasses were thick and they were very tall. And he said, I can smell the most potent smell of the most sweetest, beautiful flowers, but there were no flowers at all that I could see. And I wondered where that smell was coming from. And I parted the grass and I looked way down below and there was a bed throughout all the grasses underneath, hidden by the grasses, these tiny little flowers that were giving off their perfume. That's what it's all about. It's not about big show, big entertainment, acts from Vegas. It's not about a 10-point thing and having high-paid speakers. No way. You know what I look at that as? Dead in the water. In fact, all of those conferences never proved to be anything but big, fat failures. They never led anybody to Christ. People that have spent tons of money and have gone there, they were pumped up in their flesh to be something under some new anointing, to have some kind of hands laid upon them suddenly. And they became nothing, just they were partakers of other men's sins. I never have ever in all my nearly 50 years, it's about 50 years I've been with Christ, and that I've ever seen anybody the better from conferences. They're just information gathering chambers. But I'll tell you something right now. It's coming down to this. You need to live a holy life. You need to stand up and you need to own Jesus Christ. You need to stop always depending on just the milk, constantly the milk, constantly the milk. Even Paul in Hebrews says, they that desire the milk are those who are unskilled in the word of righteousness, being yet babes. But they that are of full age, who by reason of use have exercised, it says, but strong meat belongs to them. See, there's something that belongs to us. It says, who by reason of use have exercised their senses to discern good and evil. See, many people have no exercise at all in their spirit man, their spiritual life, in their spirit man. So they cannot discern anything. So they live this external life of lights, camera, and action, and big name celebrity preachers and book authors. And even all those people that they go and see, those people lead miserable lives. They are living lives that are a sham. They have big houses, expensive cars. There's nothing wrong with owning those things. But it makes me wonder sometimes about that. Because the way Jesus lived in, and all through the thousands of years, that Jesus has been gone 2,000 years, the most potent people were not friends with this world. They were in the world. They loved their families. They had average jobs. They were agrarian. And even today, there's many of us, the majority of us, who do things like we do clean house, for a living, whatever it is, all the different jobs throughout the world, throughout the United States, or wherever you live. See, Jesus loves it when we are simple. But he also loves us to be strong, like those little flowers that you can't believe how pungent and powerful they are. And our Heavenly Father made them. And our Heavenly Father made you. Jesus made you. And it's time to be holy. It's time to own your own faith. Do you love him? I want to ask you a question. Do you love the Lord? You love Jesus? I mean, because if you really, really do, that's only something you can answer, not to me. You don't have to write to me and say, yes, Joan, I love him. I'm not asking you to do that. But you know, Jesus is so soon to come. You really need to think about being holy. And people are so afraid of that word holy. They hear that word holy and it's some antiquated word of punishment, of boringness, of wearing clothes and the funereal browns and blacks and wearing no makeup and you have a solemn look on your face. No way. Being holy means purity. And when you're pure, like, do you want to drink? Look, I want to eat pure food. I want to drink pure water and I want to drink it out of pure vessels. And I want to eat out of pure, clean plates. It means cleanliness. But you know what happens? The life of Jesus Christ comes flooding into you, an in flood of the very person of Jesus Christ by the Holy Ghost. And you know what? You start to really soar. You take on eagle's wings. Yeah, life on earth is what it is. But Jesus is always going to make sure to convey us to the other side. I feel so bad for that man that was stabbed. And I'm going to be praying for him. But what I saw there, I wanted to come out and say something about it. If you really want to know the Lord, remember these words. I'm going to try and say it right. It's Jeremiah 9, I think it's 24 through 26, give or take a number or two. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the strong man glory in his strength. And neither let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, who exercises loving kindness and righteousness and judgment in the earth. For in these do I delight in, saith the Lord. The Lord is not impressed by any of that. He actually hates it. We are the people of the living God. And we shine like the sun in the kingdom of our Father. And we are deeply and dearly beloved by him. Get away from all of that. And remember, as time is getting closer to the second coming and the rapture of the church, remember, this world isn't your home. You can have Christ right where you are. You can have Jesus anytime you want. But that, what I saw, is become the norm in many churches, even small ones. I was watching, in closing, a pastor that I had gone to church many, many years ago. And I saw him the other day on live stream. And I said, oh, I wonder what he's saying this Sunday. And he immediately started joking at the pulpit. And he was laughing about, the first thing he said is, I was eating Chinese food with my wife. And when we were opening our fortune cookies, my wife stopped me and said, wait, before you read your fortunes, everybody, I guess everybody was at the table. She said, you have to say, while I was on the toilet. And he's saying this to the body of Christ. There's no holiness. Holiness, blessed are they that are holy, for they shall see God. And once you've got a glimpse of him, you're never the same again. Now you follow him and you don't follow anybody ever again. Amen. God bless you. Be holy as your Father in heaven is holy. He'll make you holy. You can't make yourself holy. Ask him to make you holy. That's his intention for you. get away from all of that circus environment. It's not church. We are the church. We are the living body of every tribe, language, people, nation, all of it. Amen. The Lamb of God. I pray the Lamb of God bless you and give you peace for his name's sake.